I want to welcome you to Selma Christ and New Burlington United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Andy Martin, and I am so glad that you have joined us in worship this day. 1 Chronicles 16:34 tells us to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His faithful love endures forever. And we've been experiencing that, God's faithful love in our lives and in our midst, especially in these long days of being home. Today, we certainly give thanks for God's presence with us in our homes, individually, and here at church. Today, we finally come together back again in person-to-person worship. It's been about 3 months now, and it is so good to be able to share together in worship at church again. Now, for those of you who are at home, we plan to continue having worship for you online, and whenever you're ready, or whenever that stay-at-home order has finally been lifted, especially for those who are high-risk, we certainly look forward to seeing you again. But again, when you are ready to return, we so much look forward to that, for all of us to be able to be together again. But again, it is just so good to come together in worship this day. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you. We give you all of our praise. You truly are good. Your love endures forever. Lord, we just give you our thanks and praise this day. As we come to this place in worship, whether it be here in the church or whether it be in our homes or whether it be with friends or family, Lord, we just thank you for all your goodness and your love and the grace that you bring to our hearts and our lives. This has been such a long time, Lord, that we have been at home. And we look forward, Lord, to that time where you can bring all of us back together. Not just those who were able to be here today, but all of your church back together in this place to worship and to celebrate and to bless your holy name together. Lord Jesus, we would just pray this day that you would continue to encourage those who are broken. Be present with those who are suffering or hurting, especially those who are walking through that valley of the shadow of death. Bring your comfort and wrap your arms around them. Lord, we would pray for those who are preparing for procedures in the hospitals, and just ask that your hands would guide the doctors, the physicians, for we know, Lord, that all healing comes from you. And so we give each of those who might be upon our mind and our heart into your care. And just continue, Lord, to move us and draw us near to you and to near to one another. And God, we love you, and we just give you our thanks and praise, for it's in your precious name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Well, last week, we looked at Paul's conversion experience, how God blinded him on the road to Damascus, how he sat in darkness for 3 days until God sent Ananias to him to lift the darkness from his eyes so that he could see the redeeming light of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'd like for you to listen again to the scripture of Paul's conversion. And then I want to add just one verse for our focus today, and that is what happens in Jerusalem when Paul shows up after his conversion. From the book of Acts, chapter 9, beginning with verse 15. But the Lord said, "Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized, and afterward he ate some food and regained his strength. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days, and immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is indeed the Son of God." And now we move down to verse 26, when Saul goes to Jerusalem as this new converted, this new changed man in the Lord. Verse 26, when Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. They did not believe he had truly become a believer. This is God's word for you, God's people. Amen. So what do you think of that? What do you think of that? The good Christian folk of Jerusalem questioning Saul, or should we say Paul's, conversion. Now, if you were one of those good Christians living in Jerusalem, knowing Saul's reputation, maybe even having neighbors or friends who he had put in chains or had killed just a few weeks before, could you have trusted him? Really? Could you have trusted him? You know, sometimes it takes time for people to trust again. Sometimes it takes time for people, even God's people, to fully trust in God's leading. Sometimes it takes time for God's people to even trust in the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit to bring about transformation in the life of a believer. According to Galatians chapter 2, it tells us that it took about 14 years before all of the apostles and Christian leaders finally accepted Saul, now named Paul. We read about this in Galatians 2. Verses 1 and 2 says this. It says, "Then 14 years later, I went back to Jerusalem again, and this time with Barnabas and Titus came along. I went there because God revealed to me that I should go," Paul says. "And while I was there, I met privately with those considered to be leaders of the church, and I shared with them the message that I had been preaching to the Gentiles." Paul says, "I wanted to make sure that we were in agreement, for fear that all my efforts had been wasted and I was running the race for nothing." We skip to verse 7. They, the leaders of the church, saw that God had given me the responsibility of preaching the gospels to the Gentiles, just as he had given Peter the responsibility of preaching to the Jews. Verse 9. "In fact, James, Peter, and John, who were known as pillars of the church, recognized the gift God had given me, and they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles while they continued their work with the Jews." Oh, listen, it took 14 years for the good church leaders, and maybe even for some of the apostles, to fully accept Saul, Paul, and what God had and what God was doing in his life. You know, sometimes it takes time for people to trust again. Sometimes it takes time for people, even God's people, to fully trust God's leading. And sometimes it takes time for God's people to trust in the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit to bring about transformation in the life of a believer. Oh, but listen, all things are possible with God. And no matter how bad we've been harmed, no matter how far we have pushed ourselves away, no matter how broken our relationship is or how broken we are, God's transforming work can make all things new, because all things are possible with God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I do. Do you believe that? And most importantly, do you believe that for you. Ananias, he was just one of many Christians that feared this man named Saul. Saul was the one commissioned to hunt down these Jewish followers of Jesus by any means. Saul was the one who had these Jesus followers thrown into prison and separated from their families, beaten severely, and even put to death like Stephen was. I mean, how do you trust someone like that? Oh, Ananias, he had to believe for himself that all things are possible with God, even trust. When everything inside of him had to be crying out, don't go, don't trust, it's not going to go well for you. Ananias still went. Oh, he still opened himself up to the possibility of what God was leading him to do. And I think there's a thing or two that we could really learn from all of this. Like, can we allow ourselves to become vulnerable again, to trust that person who has either harmed us or who has the potential to harm us? And why in the world would we want to do something like that? I mean, gosh, life is messy enough as it is. But I wonder how much more powerful grace is when it is given and shown to the one that neither wants it nor has asked for it. Oshea, Israel of Minneapolis, experienced this kind of grace, and without a doubt, it changed his life completely. Whenever Oshea was 16 years old, he was at a party and got into an argument, and he shot to death 20-year-old Larry M. Byrd, the only son of Mary Johnson. Oshea was sentenced to 25 and a half years in prison, but he was released after 17. But in just a few years before his release, Mary Johnson, the mother of the man whom he murdered, started visiting him in prison and showing him God's grace. Showing him God's grace by forgiving him, and then by forming a relationship with him. Oh, in fact, Mary even spoke with her landlord, helping her son's killer to move in right next to her. Oh, the change in Oshea's life because of the grace that was given him is just huge. So much so that as God's child, this man now goes around singing praises of God and speaking about forgiveness and about his story at prisons and churches and anyone who would listen about how this dear woman adopted him and how she loved him and how she forgave him and how she gave him grace, God's grace. Oh, church, I want to tell you, that is a God thing. And that is only possible because of a woman broken and in pain over the loss of her son, who allowed herself to hear the voice of God in her life and to move in response to that voice. Oh, and without a doubt, it didn't happen overnight. It took years of God working in her life, but the key is that she allowed herself to listen to God. And when the time was right, oh, she trusted God and she trusted herself and she trusted God's leading. Truly, all things are possible with God. And maybe there's one here this morning that's been hurt deeply by someone close to you. And maybe because of that, it's caused you to have difficulty trusting and opening yourself up to others. I want to tell you, our God is a transforming God. Our God is the one who helps us change and become the whole person that God wants us to become. Not broken down, not bleeding, not afraid to commit because of things that have happened in our past. Oh, you see, all things really are possible with God. But we have to believe that for ourselves. And you know, that doesn't mean as soon as we've been hurt that we pop right back up and forgive and trust and just welcome another's onslaught of pain. No. We also have to take time to let God heal us and to lead us along His path. And when that time is right, to fully give grace and seek reconciliation. And it may be received, and it may not be received. But it will most certainly affect the one whom grace is given. And who knows what can come of that. And I also know that God does not intend for us to wait a lifetime before we do so. And this is where we have to be open to God's Holy Spirit leading us, like Mary did with her son's murderer, and Ananias did as he listened to Jesus speak to him through a dream or this vision. Well, sometimes it takes time for people to trust. Sometimes it takes time for people, even God's people, to fully trust in God's leading. And I wonder if that's why God blinded Saul for 3 days, to give him time to fully trust that which Jesus had just revealed to him. Oh, everything that Saul thought that he knew and believed before his encounter with the risen Jesus was wrong. It was dead wrong. He had blatantly sinned against God, murdered his fellow Jews with a near reckless zeal. He was responsible for breaking up families and making orphans of children. He was the one responsible for throwing into prison Christian after Christian. Saul had to be a mess, completely blind, helpless, afraid, and mixed up on so many levels that even Freud would even have a meltdown trying to analyze him. Oh, for 3 long, lonely days, he lived in darkness. Sometimes it takes time for people to fully trust in God's leading. And think about what actually happened here. I mean, it would have been like the former leader of ISIS, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, I think was his name. He died last year. But think about how that former leader, who was ultimately responsible for beheading Christians and making holy war against the West, and any who called upon them, anyone who followed Jesus was fair game for him. It would have been like him having a vision of Jesus Christ, and overnight becomes like Billy Graham evangelizing the entire Muslim world. That's what it would have been like for Saul. How do you wrap your mind around that? But that is just what God did with Saul. And I don't know about you, but I would much rather not have to deal with the days of darkness to teach me to trust in God's leading. And I can't help but to wonder if this is the very reason many of our churches today are dwindling away to almost extinction. God has shown us the way. He calls His church to be about ministry and being missional, to go out and to live in Jesus' name. He has appeared to us in the person of Jesus Christ. We've all been on that road to Damascus. Oh, He has clearly given us the vision of what He wants us to do and how He wants us to live as individuals and as His collective church. And then His church. Oh my, we get all bogged down with wanting things my way or trying to decide who is worthy of God's grace because of their life choices Or the church gets all bogged down in the politics and legalism of who can and who cannot be a pastor or a member or a person of faith. We have our own way of doing things, and that way can never change because that's the way we've always done it before. See, I'm just talking about Saul here before he met Jesus. And isn't it interesting that these are the very things today that cause Christ's church to remain in darkness? Maybe God is allowing his church to walk in darkness and dwindle to the brink of extinction in some places so that it can finally trust in God's leading and not in its own leading or way of doing things. Maybe God allows his church to walk in days of darkness so that the scales can finally fall from its eyes to see again with fresh eyes what God is calling his people to do and to be in this age and time. Oh, maybe darkness is not such a bad thing if it causes God's people to fully trust in God's leading. Sometimes it takes time for people to trust. Sometimes it takes time for people, even God's people, to fully trust God's leading. And sometimes it takes time for God's people to trust in the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit to bring about transformation in the life of the believer. Acts 9:26 tells us that when Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But can you blame him? No doubt Peter and John and the rest of the disciples didn't believe for a second that Saul, who he said he was. Nor did they believe Saul was in the right place. And certainly this was not the right time for any of this to be happening. Yet here he was. God miraculously brought Saul to Jerusalem, a changed man with an uncontrollable zeal to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ to the world. And what happens in the church when God does that regenerative work in a person who really struggles in life or has made terrible mistakes and choices, but yet God gets a hold of them and their life does a 180 and they become called by God to share what God has done. In a former church, I shared with my worship committee that this certain individual and couple contacted me about coming and sharing their story and how God changed their lives, how God got a hold of them and just made them this new creation. And now they're doing this music ministry. They've been doing it for a number of years. They kind of like ride their horses from town to town and they share their ministry and God's good word. And so I share this with the worship committee that they're available and maybe we ought to think about bringing them into the church. And my worship committee tells me, well, if you do, don't be surprised if people get up and walk out because these people were known in this community before they became Christians, like 20 years ago. Wow. Sometimes it takes time for God's people to trust in the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit to bring about transformation in the life of a believer. And sometimes it takes time for God to fully transform us or his church. And I wonder how many of us today are still being transformed. What do you think? I wonder how many of us today are still being transformed. I think all of us, all of us. Saul thought he was in the right place, persecuting Christians, but he wasn't in the place that God wanted him to be. And Jesus showed him that And you know, we all are someplace with God. And some of us are a long way from where we used to be. But I think most of us have still not yet reached the place where God wants us to be. In fact, there may even be some of us who have reached locations we want to be, and we've become so content in where we are in our walk with Jesus and His calling in our life that we no longer are striving to get to that place that God has reserved for us to be. Sometimes it takes time for God's people to trust in the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit to bring about transformation in the life of the believer. Oh, but we cannot stay in the same place forever, or the full regenerative work of God in our life can never occur. Oh, you see, Saul thought he was in the right place, persecuting Christians, but he wasn't in the place that God wanted him to be. And if we allow, you see, God can move us to the right place at the right time to bring about His will and His plan for our lives. Just as He did for Saul and for Peter and Ananias and for all those early Christians who finally trusted in God's leading and plan 14 years after Saul. Paul had been proclaiming Christ Jesus. Oh, will you allow God to move in your life? Maybe even causing you to do a 180. Will you allow His right time and right place to bring about His will and His plan for you? And will you trust in the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit, not just in your life, but in the lives of those that God brings to His church? Well, today, I just want to close by thanking you for the gift of allowing me to be your pastor. Our time together has been way too short, and especially these last few months have been very difficult without us being able to be together as we were used to. You have certainly been a welcoming and supportive congregation to serve, and I thank the Lord for you. And I know Pastor Ed will be loved and welcomed and blessed to be able to serve with you, just as I have been. I especially, though, this morning just want to thank you for all of you, for those who have been so supportive and helpful with my grandkids. They are always so eager to come to church and see their friends and those that they love. They think so much of both churches. They just can't wait to get here. Some of you have watched them. Some of you have taken them swimming or to the park. Some of you have even brought over clothes or toys. Some of you have taken them to the Children's Museum or just picked them up for a day of fun. And giving Susan and me a break. Oh my, you folks have loved on Micah and Ellie and Olivia and Sarah and me and Susan, and words just cannot express how much that means to us. Thank you so much. We love you. We love you so much, and we're going to miss you. You, as the church, have been the church in my life and in the lives of so many in this community. Thank you again, and thank you for the opportunity for allowing me to be your pastor. God bless you. God bless you all. Let's pray. Loving God, I thank you so much for your church, for those, Lord, and both of our congregations here at New Burlington and Selma Christ, those who have been so open and open with your love and sharing that love with any and with all who have come their way. and especially even with me and my family. Lord, just bless each one. I thank you, God, for their prayers, for their support and their concern, and for this time that you've allowed me to come to know and to pastor and to fall in love with your people here. Lord, just continue to help them to grow in your faith. Help them to witness to that which burns in their heart of your love and the grace that you give. And Lord, help each one of us to share your good news and to be about your work and your way of sharing our love with your world so that others might come to know you and to live in you and to fall in love with you day by day. Lord Jesus, just continue to walk with us and help us to walk faithfully with you. And we give you our thanks and praise, Jesus, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. Go now in the strength and in the power and in the grace of the God who loves you and who loves all. And may you experience the peace of Jesus Christ. Amen.